back. The market is closed. Good Thursday afternoon, everyone. Kip Herridge here with the Daily Vanguard Investing Podcast. Hope you're all doing well today. We were all doing well today, weren't we? About midday, and then everything just went to SHIT, did it not? What happened here? AMD started this downfall. Advanced Micro Devices actually finishing down 8.5%. And I don't see the I don't see news for that reason. I don't see news for that move lower that I could find anyway. I didn't search real hard. We don't own AMD, but we own the three-time leverage semiconductor ETF SOXL. So yeah, we actually do own AMD along with a lot of the others, including NVIDIA. But that is the first thing I noticed was that. Then we noticed, of course, the SMH, the semi ETF, started going lower. It actually finished down 2.7% today. So we just had our staff meeting, Tyler and Josh, myself, to talk about this and make sure we've got our story straight for you, try to make sense of what's happening here. First of all, let me tell you, Dow Jones finished down 530 points. That's 1.3%. NASDAQ, even more, down 1.4%, down 228 points. S&P 500, down, pretty much all the same, really, 1.3%. Russell 2000, down 1%. That was our winner on the day of the indexes. And again, semi is down 2.7%. The VIX index, the volatility index, finished up 14%. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it was only at 14 before. Now it's 16. That's not a big deal, really. But what's interesting, and this will dovetail into what we're going to talk about here, the 10-year T-note, right? This is, of course, the topic of conversation pretty much every day now with the financial talking heads is what's going to happen with rates. Well, something didn't fit in the action that we saw today. 10-year yields fell today. 10 years, just remember this, 10-year yields dropped to 4.309%, right? Now, it's not a huge drop, but it doesn't work with what apparently the talking heads are saying is the reason the move lower took place. So let's go over this quickly. I tend to not get caught up. If you know me, you know this. I don't get caught up in single reports. I just couldn't care less about a single report. We're looking at trends. Right, looking at trends. I don't trust government reports. I don't trust their data. It's number one. It misses so much that it's completely rigged. They are rigged. These reports are rigged to at least some degree, and they're wrong. The revisions are just insane. So you know, look, I don't trust individual reports. That's my point. But when you see this kind of a move, and if this is not an enormous move, but it's attention getting because we were up a couple hundred points on the Dow Jones to start the day. NASDAQ was up 180 points, again, finishing down 228. That's a 400-point swing in NASDAQ. So yeah, it's worth getting diving into. This is not nothing, in other words. So let's talk about what's going on here. All right. First of all, tomorrow is the jobs report. Now, this is what everybody's saying. Oh, the markets are nervous about a bad jobs number, meaning it's going to be hot. I think the estimates for the month of April to have created March to have created 200,000 jobs. I think that's the last estimate I saw. Maybe off a little bit there. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if this number is hot. First of all, we've got a strong economy, so no one would really be surprised from that point of view. Although, remember, all these revisions. They've had revisions in like 11 of the last 12 months, and not a little bit, a lot, which tells you the economy is not as strong as these official numbers tell you. This is a well-known subject matter, right? So I don't think it's a hot jobs report. I don't think that the market would be all that shocked by this. I don't think the market cares where rates are. Look, don't we have enough evidence now? And I've talked about this with you ad nauseum. Don't we have enough evidence now to indicate the markets do not care about interest rates? Don't we have enough evidence now to say that the markets are in the process of not caring about the inflation data? Because again, the trend, remember a year ago, inflation was over 9%, or you know, 14 months was over 9%. And we're now at 2.9%. The trend, of course, is lower. That's called disinflation, which is, of course, what we've had every single month over the last year plus. So I don't think it's not the bond market, it's not rates, it's not inflation. No, this is about something else. Because again, if it was about that, yields would have been up today. Okay? Yields would have been up. Although, I would not put it past this administration. This administration, we already know about their crookedness, okay? But there's a lot that's not even talked about. Because the financial media won't touch this. CNBC, what I'm about to tell you, CNBC won't touch. Bloomberg won't touch. Fox Business, next time I'm with Charles Payne, which, by the way, is going to be next Thursday. I'm scheduled to be on next Thursday. Of course, Tyler was on last night on the with Wayne Root on his show, TV and radio show last night. Just knocked it out of the park. Proud of my son. And I'll be on next Thursday with Charles Payne. And maybe we can bring this up then. But this administration leaks. This administration leaks economic data all the time. These reports that come out are commonly leaked. And you know it because you see the action on the day before. Now, what happened here? Actually, this sell-off started yesterday. We saw a midday weakness yesterday. Now, we recovered a lot of the end of the close, so it kind of masked it. But it still showed up a little bit in the internals. We got that again today. And certainly today was a clear sell-off in advance of this jobs data. So again, it would not surprise me if this jobs data was leaked. But I'm going to tell you, I do not think that's what's going on here. Tyler and Josh, we all agree on this, all right? And, we went through every possible option. So here's what I think this was. By the way, Neil Kashkari, this is the other thing that apparently the financial talking heads are going on about. Neil Kashkari is, I guess he's a voting member of the Fed. I don't remember. He's a Minnesota guy. He's a Fed president, I think. I don't know he's a voting member, but he was on TV and said, because these Fed talking heads, they have to make, 100 appearances a month, right? I mean, again, we said this for a long time. If you're new here, then maybe it's new to you. Otherwise, it won't be. These are our financial masters of the universe. The new financials the new masters of our universe, of our financial universe, are these Fed presidents and governors. And of course, led by Jay Powell, the chairman. They love all the attention they're getting, the money they're getting, the opportunities that spawn out of this. These guys leave the Fed and go on to run or play vice chairman roles in companies like BlackRock and companies like Vanguard. They know their meal ticket is punched. And again, that cancer that's happening, destruction of institutions is happening throughout the country, certainly is spread all the way down to the Federal Reserve. It's not just in other areas of government as well. So, of course, the Fed is not government. They're not federal. Of course, they're their own private cabal of global bankers. But Kashkari was out saying, "Oh, we may not even raise rates this year," or some nonsense like that. Again, I don't know. Remember the last time he's ever been right? He's just a mouthpiece. He just says whatever kind of. Oh, he's a wild card. He's the wild card. And so I can tell you again, the markets aren't down because of what Neil Kashkari said. The markets aren't caring about rates. The economy's doing fine. Economy's doing fine. By the way, and I think we're the only people reporting this. And that's interesting because, and again, I don't watch a lot of TV. I could be wrong, but we've been saying this for a long time and no one else has come to us. Oh, by the way, these guys are saying, oh, they're also saying here what you're saying. Todd and I have been talking about this now for a long time. During the 1995 to 2000 dot-com meltup, which we think is, this is the most similar period to that. The average on the 10-year yield was higher than 6%. Again, we're 4.3% now. There were times when it was close to 7% in 95 to 2000. Again, the average over 6%. So that big tech-led rally then did not care. And I don't think it matters now. Of course, again, I got to play devil's advocate because people always say, we didn't have $34 trillion in debt then. No, of course we didn't. But the markets don't care about that either. Because it's all relative, and debt is an illusion anyway. But especially, certainly when it comes to government debt. But here's the distinction: China debt to Japan's debt to GDP is 207% plus. We're 123%. Right. So Japan's more than double us. What is China's real number? Well, we know it's officially 300-something%, 310, 320, based on the official data debt to GDP. But what is that number really? Because does anyone trust their data? Of course not. No one does. Here's what's funny. When China puts out bad economic data, all of the perma bear sites and all the perma bears, right, and the haters, right, haters of profitability is what they really are. They come out and they just glob onto that China. Oh, look, China's economy is only growing at 5%. That's recessionary for them. That's recessionary for them. I mean, that's kind of been their line. So when China comes out as their economic data has been improving, when China comes out and says, oh, we actually did better than we thought we were going to do. Economy's back to growing 5.8%. These same people come out and go, well, you can't trust their data. It's hilarious, right? The mental gymnastics that people go to try to never be wrong, right? They get whatever they have to do to never admit that they're wrong. I have very, as you can probably tell, very little patience for people that can't admit when they're wrong and just move on instead of having to. One of these days, I really should write a book. I should write another book, kind of inside Wall Street, the stories that I know, people that I know, and what they say versus what they do. It wouldn't surprise you. It wouldn't surprise you at all that these are charlatans, they're complete hypocrites, and what they say on TV is usually the exact opposite of what they're really doing. And they're just scummy people. I mean, beyond, they're just scum. They're scummy people. And so that's why, frankly, and I hate to even say this because, you know, Tyler and I, we're both on television now, and that's only going to grow because I think, you know, we're doing some things here that our growth is going to continue to accelerate because our returns, and now we actually are growing because we're doing some marketing. We've just never done that before. But we've kind of decided it's time. It's time to go ahead and grow this. And let's see what we can do with this thing. You know, let's help as many people as possible and let's have fun doing it. We just need the right team around us so we're not working 18 hours a day instead of 14 hours a day. And so that's really what's gone into the decision-making process. So yeah, we are going to grow. I think you'll see that some news on that pretty soon. And we're excited about that. We got a great team now that we brought in to help us get to where we want to go and to do it. We believe to do it the right way, you know, but number one, focus on your clients, focus on your subscribers, make them money, right? Always be honest. Write all your own shit. We write every word of everything we put out, from tweets to blogs to obviously every letter we put out, our parabolic, everything, books, everything we put out is written by us. And so that's very rare, just in case you didn't know that. Almost nobody else does that. All these newsletter writers, they have either an AI algorithm or somebody as a copywriter on their staff writes their stuff for them. So that's the approach that we believe here works. I think that's how you breed loyalty and long-term trust with the folks that you work with. At least we sleep well at night. We sleep well at night with our approach. I don't know how other people do. I do not know how other people do, frankly. I think that's, again, the scummy comment I made earlier. Okay, let's get back to this. So if it's not about the jobs numbers tomorrow, if it's not about the interest rates, if it's not about inflation, what is this sell-off about? It's probably about Iran, okay? It's probably about Iran. It would explain a lot of things, would it not? It would help explain Iran attacking Israel, which is probably – I hate to even make this kind of a forecast because I'm not into military-industrial complex arena game, and I don't play that anymore, Billy. I don't know how to profit from it, and it just drives me crazy trying to think of all this. You know, I'm not predicting World War III. I'm not saying China's going to take over Taiwan. These are crazy. These are crazy thoughts. Now, I'm not saying that may not happen, but these same people have been predicting this for a decade plus, two decades. They want it to happen, apparently. So that's just not me. I'm an optimist. And I believe that good things are going to happen because I believe what you think about, you bring about. I think about good things. I think about peace. I think about prosperity. And so anyway, that works for me. But I am going to make this kind of a prediction here because I think this makes the most sense. It explains gold going up. It explains oil going up. Okay. And probably Bitcoin to some degree. Tyler had a great point about that in a meeting as well, that in previous geopolitical turmoil, which was when we left Afghanistan and when Russia didn't really invade Ukraine, when the Russia-Ukraine conflict started, because I'm not going to get into that either. But that there were big moves higher in Bitcoin as well. So, and of course, we saw today Bitcoin's up $2,600 and back to $68,550. I think it was over $69,000 at one point today. Up 4% on the day. So, what more than anything, if you've been following the news here, and by the way, Biden came out today and demanded that Netanyahu initiate a ceasefire with Gaza because, you know, they finally realized, okay, this does look very much like you're just killing a lot of women and children. Yeah, this does look really bad, of course, because it is. And so as a reminder, and I don't know, genocide, I don't know if that's happening. That kind of looks like it to me. What they're doing is ridiculous. And, there's a special place in hell for anyone that bombs innocent civilians and knows they're doing it and just keeps doing it. I'm sorry. There's no justification for that in any world. It wasn't justified when we did it in Iraq, where we killed at least 500,000 innocent women, children, and men that happened to be workers. Not everybody's in the military. 500,000 to most people say over 1 million. All right, I don't know. At least 500,000 innocents we killed in Iraq in an invasion that should never have happened in the first place because of the lies of Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Again, these people are evil people. And if there is a hell, this is what I hope there is one. You know, I don't believe there is one, but this is when I hope there is one. And people like Karl Rove, by the way, since we're going down this road a bit, Karl Rove today, I think this video is from today. Otherwise, I would have seen it before. Maybe it's an old video, but I just saw it today. I couldn't even watch it, frankly. I just saw the blurb. Karl Rove is saying all these Jan 6 people should be locked up. That should be part of our campaign message, is to go after them and lock them up. They should do serious time. Wow. Karl Rove. Here's a guy, talk about people that deserve a special place in hell. Karl Rove was a senior advisor when we invaded Iraq, when weapons of mass destruction became a thing, when that lie was formed. Karl Rove and about 100 of his buddies in the Bush administration should be doing, at least at minimum, should be in Gitmo now, or whatever if Iraq should have one of these prisons. Like Abu Ghraib, and they should be, they basically should be terrorizing them there. And these are clearly evil people, right? So, back to the point of the story about Iran. So, Israel, this is what, a few days ago, Israel attacked an Iranian consulate, killed some important people, apparently. I don't know all the details. But that happened, and no one's denying that it did, apparently. And so the speculation is that Iran is now going to get revenge. And I think that's probably going to happen. I think the markets, I think the public, the military public, in other words, are starting to kind of prepare people. Yeah, that's probably going to happen. You know, I've seen subtle comments like that. Well, yeah, that's what people think is going to happen. And I don't remember. Maybe somebody can correct me. I know they've done it, through proxies and through surrogates, but I don't remember Iran attacking Israel or one of their consulates. I don't remember that. I mean, I know they do it through surrogates, but under their own name, publicly saying we will get revenge for this. So that is that's not a good thing. That's a step in a different direction. I think that helps to explain why the market's so off like this. I apologize. Most of you probably don't care what I'm talking about. Let's get back to the markets here. We'll see what the jobs number is tomorrow. And, of course, we'll report it to you along with the truth as we see it. Because, again, we are in a generational bull market. So that's really – that's always our fallback. This is a incredibly strong economy. It's a structural bull market, meaning it's based in fundamentals, technicals, sentiment, and a VR investing system with 11 to 12 screens bullish. Yeah, these are all things that we rely on, and we just have never gotten to extreme or bottom steroids, right? So, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but the Fear and Greed Index, as Tyler pointed out, which was 70-something just the other day, is apparently now down to a 49. So, again, when you see sentiment surveys that go from extreme greed to just neutral, which is what this level is, that tells you this is not a market you need to be worried about, because so many people jump ship right away, And so we'll know when there's a real top in place. And I'm not talking about, we can drop 3%, 4%, 5% anytime. That's just a shakeout. Those happen. I don't even know what you can do about that. Is it make sure along the way you raise some cash. If you have some nice profits, it always makes sense to have a bit of cash. And make sure you're in things that keep going up. Gold has been nothing going up. I'd like to keep money in gold instead of in the bank. Who needs fiat currency when you got gold? Who needs fiat currency when you got Bitcoin? So it's how you save, and it's where you keep your cash. Again, Bitcoin up today. Gold was up all day. Closed down. It's only down $4 an ounce now. Still 23.10. But, having some cash aside, in case we do get a shakeout, you can add your favorite positions. Like every time we get a pause or a shakeout, kind of like to add to the semiconductors. We're looking at putting a new position on in housing. You know, we took really, really good profits in there, and we took about 6, 7, 8 months ago, we took profits after just killing it from the October 13th to 2022 lows. And now we want to get back into this group because housing, again, is in a long-term structural bull market. So we come back to that theme a lot, that shakeouts should be looked at in big bull markets like this. We're just in, remember, second year. It's going to go many years. These shakeouts should be looked at as gifts. And I've been making this case for a long time now about Tesla and about Bitcoin. I hope they go lower. And I'm not just saying that. I hope they go lower because they're giving me a gift because I think I know what's coming with Tesla. I wrote this up this morning for our folks. There's about four different areas that they have no competition in. I'm not talking about EVs. I'm talking about areas they have no real competition in, where they have multiple year lead time and insurmountable lead time. That's Tesla. People are focused on deliveries. And that's the past. I could not care less about that because Tesla is not a car company. It's a tech company. And they are at the heart and center of the innovation revolution underway now. That's the key here. So, same thing with Bitcoin. I hope it goes lower. I want to buy more. I want to buy more cheaper. But you know, we got to pull back to 60,500. What was that, 3 weeks ago? That was, I woke up like, boom, let's buy some more. So, that's how I look at it. And I feel the same way, about every position of your portfolio. If it goes lower, I get to buy more, but there are some, I do feel more about that. Like the miners right now, as I just said, Tesla, and of course, Bitcoin, which is going to go a hell of a lot higher. Tyler talked about that a little bit last night on with Wayne. And, you know, we'll still be buying Bitcoin at $1 million, you know, whenever that is, but it'll still be the point is it will still be a buy then. And so that's the long-term focus we like to have. You can't look at everything like that because Bitcoin is such a unique creature of its own. There is nothing like Bitcoin ever in my career. There's nothing at all like Bitcoin. There's never been anything like Bitcoin. People should understand that. People should understand that, that Bitcoin is unique to our times, right? And the supply-demand story is exceptional. You'll never find a better supply-demand story than this thing. It's just unbelievable. And now it's got SEC approval, right? And now you got to remember, approximately 80% of everybody, all the broker dealers, their financial advisors, money managers, hedge funds, these family offices, right? Sovereign wealth funds. They can't buy Bitcoin yet because they're all going through getting the approval process from their internal compliance, working their attorneys, making sure the backside's covered, right? That's 80% cannot buy it, but it's a process that's happening. So the smaller operations are getting approval first. And then it'll go boom, 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 boom. Finally, it'll be Vanguard, you know, whose CEO just mysteriously is all of a sudden decided to quit after 33 years. Of course, he's the one that said, we'll never be in Bitcoin. He's gone. At least he'll be gone in September, but you know, I doubt he's even making decisions now. Vanguard is moving forward with Bitcoin. They haven't announced it, but I can assure you that that is the case. And so all of these announcements are coming out. Morgan Stanley announced today they're trying to speed up the process. You know, others are as well, of course. And so again, the demand that's going to come in for Bitcoin is going to be insane. I am actually surprised, frankly, I am surprised that Bitcoin is not 100,000 now. And I think it's going to happen, as we've been saying, you know, the halving is in 16 days now. I think it's going to happen either just before or just after the halving, within 30 days of the halving. But I am kind of surprised it's not there now because the futures market's a reason. They're playing their games. The futures trading is insane. The spot market can't even compete what's happening in futures trading. But these are traders. Remember, they're really not taking long-term positions. They're trading. And so they like to try to pile on either long or short and really try to liquidate people. And you can do that, of course, both ways, long and shorts. So, but they're not, they don't matter. They're just like the noise, you know, they're just creating a volatility and trading, which is good. You know, traders like to have volatility, but for the average person, you know, we don't want to see that. But of course, it's the reality of investing. But see, that one doesn't matter. What matters is long term demand and long-term holders. Remember, most people that own Bitcoin are not selling. There's no interest, not selling. So the supply is just not there. And now this halving is going to reduce mining every day from 900 coins to 450 coins or thereabouts. And again, it's just an extraordinary setup. So we've covered this ad nauseum, of course, so apologies there. But that's what we're looking at. Again, it's tomorrow. We'll have a little more. I'll probably try to write some of this up tomorrow. And again, sorry for boring you with all that stuff. But that's what we talked about in our staff meeting today. And I just thought it'd be interesting to give some of you a kind of inside look. We should record these things. Our staff meetings are pretty fun. I think they benefit people. Let's talk about what happened inside the market today. Because again, this does not look like any kind of a violent sell off at all. Again, bands declined 2-1. I'm gonna round up 2-1 negative. Okay, not even that for NASDAQ. NYSE, frankly, not either. Neither one really were 2-1 negatives. It's under 2-1 negative. Volume a little worse here. NYSE down volume was 73%, and NASDAQ was better at 62%. Bands decline. A new 52 highs and lows. Check this out. We had 392 stocks hit a 52-week high to just 112 hit a new 52-week low. So, again, if there's going to be a lot of trouble coming, I don't think there is. Again, anything that happens is going to be short-term. But, you know, that's a buying opportunity. Right? Buy the dip has been the smartest of smart money strategies from the bear market lows. It's the only thing it's worked better than anything except follow the semis. And that's why the semi is down 2.7% today with Advanced Micro down 8%. You know, that's something we're going to get figured out. Again, long-term, semis are going to keep leading. They're going to keep leading. They're at the cutting edge of everything to do with the innovation revolution, AI, of course. And so but they're going so much higher. Yeah, I think I shared the chart this morning with our folks of the semis to SP 100 relative strength chart, which we love relative strength charts. It tells you it's inside baseball. It tells you the things that otherwise you'd have no way of knowing. It's the relationship and interaction between sectors and industries. And it just paints you a picture of what's really happening. I'm surprised more people don't use this, but we love them. And, you know, this morning you look at it, it's SMH is going parabolic to the stock market. You know, it's nearing going parabolic to the SP 500. So they're leading still. And again, that's a very bullish sign. In our sector watch today, this is not pretty. I'll prepare you in advance. Let me do a quick refresh. Yep, that's right. All 11 sectors finished lower today. Technology down 1.7%. Again, semis down big today. Healthcare down 1.4%. Communication services, which is actually tech, also down 1.4%. All 11 lower. Not a lot of damage then outside of the top three or four. But just down again, 1.4% to 1.7%. And our commodity watch today. Gold had been trading all day over. It hit a high today of $2,324 an ounce. Right now it's $2,310, which is down $4 an ounce on the day. But again, it's just been garlic strong, of course. Again, so many reasons. Again, I wrote this up this morning for our folks. The miners, of course, have gone parabolic. They've been going over the last month. The miners up 28%. Doesn't include today. Miners up 28%. GDX miners up 28% in the last month. That's parabolic. I mean, you got one sector that goes up 28%. I'm sorry, that's called parabolic, right? It's been a phenomenal move higher. Down today, just under 1% was GDX. But even today, I mean, volume yesterday was 30 million. Volume today, 29 million. What is going on here? What it tells me, and I wrote this up this morning, I think we have a tell here. This is significant. Stay with me on this. I think this may make you some money. Because I know this group about as well as anybody else, okay? About as well as anybody in the country for having a feel for it, okay? I think that's an accurate statement. My dad was a gold bug, and he took a huge bath in it. You know, he bought right at the top at, what, $800 at the top in the 70s, and then I remember when he sold it. He sold it near the lows, and I remember going, that's the opposite, right? It is buy low, sell high, right? I felt sorry for my father, of course, but he introduced me, right, to this whole space. And so I've been hooked. Started going to investment conferences that focus on precious metals and miners. Love these people because these are good, hardworking. This is salt of the earth people, right? These are the people. I want to be around these people, not these scumbags from Wall Street, okay? I want to be around the good people, the mining industry, oil and gas and precious metals and those guys. So they're fun conferences to go to because you know you're working with people you can by and large trust. And they're good people to tell you the truth. The Borneos from time to time that salt their minds. And, you know, if you remember that story out of Canada, of course, that shut down the Canadian stock, the Alberta stock, the it was Briex Minerals shut down the Vancouver Stock Exchange because it was such a big scam. But basically, these are good people and the ones we want to work with. And I wrote this up this morning. This is a tell. I believe this will make us some money. When right now, GDX, the minor ETF, is barely trading any volume at all. Look at a chart on it. I mean, it flatlined. Every now and then it might do 40 million. In the last 30 days, even with this parabolic move higher, the biggest volume they had was 49 million. All right. Now, to put that in perspective for you, because that doesn't mean anything, you know, as a standalone number, in years past, when this group gets hot, you know, you're looking at regular volume of better than 80 million shares a day with spikes to 150, 200 million. We're at 30 million shares traded. So why is that important? Was it tell us? It's pretty important. And it tells us, I think we're only in the first inning of this move higher in the miners. Okay. Gold's already all time high. The miners are still so cheap. They've moved up a little bit, but only a little bit. I think they're 70% below their all time highs, folks. This is crazy talk here. So they're going to have a huge move. And I think how we're going to know it's going to happen is when the volume really starts coming into GDX. That'll be the tell. Because when we start jumping from 30 million like we are nowadays, 30 million shares traded, to get back to, we see 50, then we see 60, and all of a sudden, boom, we have day 80, and then a day over 100. This group will be going truly parabolic at that point. So the key here is that's how we'll know the smart money's showing up. They're not here yet. I keep thinking any day now, and they're still not here. They're not believers. Right. They've been fooled before. Miners have been a very tough position, place to be in for a number of years. But again, we have gold at all time highs and this group's not quite moving yet. So, but we'll know they're in when the volume starts to spike. Let's keep an eye on that. I think that tell can make us a lot of money because when the smart money starts showing up, it's going to be Katie bar the door. It's going to be boom time. Right. And that's when you make sure your positions are in or at least be ready to get them in. Okay. So that's our smart money play today with GDX and what we're looking for. Our rest of our commodity watch today against silver, down 4 cents an ounce at 27. Silver's been hot, $27 an ounce. Copper up 2 cents a pound today at 422. What a story. Dr. Copper, what a story this is. And again, it's telling you the global economy is in good shape and coming back. Oil doing the same thing. Oil up another $1.30 in a barrel. We are well positioned there, folks. 86.81 a barrel now on oil. It looks to me clear to go to the 94 to 95 area. I think that's where it's headed. And then, 90 to 95 in that range. And after that, you know, anything over 100 starts putting a little bit of stress on the economy. But remember, inflation adjusted, oil is cheap. Inflation adjusted, oil is cheap. I'm kind of surprised oil's not $250 a barrel because inflation adjusted is probably $10 a barrel, right? So we think it's expensive here. It's really not. Now, a lot of states, of course, gasoline prices are expensive because governments use these for tax havens to tax the crap out of everybody, right? Hide it in the gallon of gas. Again, just evil, evil people working with here. But again, I think energy stocks look fantastic, continue to look fantastic. And again, that's part of this broadening process we've had, right? Todd talked about yesterday. We had this something we're calling the incredible rolling bull market. We just wrote this up for the first time yesterday. The incredible rolling bull market. We have all these sectors that are now getting hot. You know, because again, when it first started after the bear market lows, what did we have? We had the semis and tech led the way. Textbook, exactly what you want to see, exactly what you should see. After semis and tech, what happened? The broadening action started, didn't it? Broadening came and we saw a broadening action move into other growth areas like biotech, et cetera. Then it spread to value stocks and to global markets. They got hot. Now look what's gotten hot here of late. Small caps, precious metals and miners, and energy stocks. A rolling bull market. The reason that's significant is that when that happens, it keeps one group from getting too hot and keeps the entire market from getting overbought. Because if you only have tech and growth stocks leading the way, at some point, everything's just going to get overbought. You need other groups working. You need a rolling bull market, which is what we have here. And this is early. It's early. I think this is, if this action continues, it will extend this bull market exactly what we've been talking about into 2030, at least for a long time, right? So that's what we think is happening here. And I think we get a lot of evidence that it is happening. All right. And I guess I'll give you a final quote on Bitcoin and we're done, right? 60. Let me pull up. Right at 68,000. So it's, again, it's up, $2,100, on the day. Again, the halving coming up here, and just so many reasons to own Bitcoin. It's a little crazy. Hey, folks, always appreciate you listening. Hope you had a great day and even a better night. We'll see you back here again tomorrow after the close.